The Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Featuring head coach Marcus Goldman, hosted by Justin Spears. Only on ESPN Tucson 1490 and 104.9 FM.
Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. I'm your host, Justin Spears. The Tucson Sugar Skulls have an interesting game this weekend. It's going to be an awesome game. I cannot wait for this weekend. They'll be taking on the Arizona Rattlers at Tucson Arena. As always, here with us is head coach of the Sugar Skulls, Marcus Coleman. Coach, thank you for joining us.
Good, man. What's going on?
Always good. Yeah. I'm sorry about last night for your Texas Tech Raiders going out. I'm sorry.
I already told you the issue I had. The only problem I had was the inbounds at the end. Other than that, I knew it was going to be a close game. I mean, they're pretty evenly matched, you know, those two. And plus, I like the way we can play whatever style of ball that we need to play on that given day, just depending on who the matchup is. I think we're versatile like this.
So hopefully, you didn't lose any money on that game.
No. No,
I saved
all my money, all the money that I was going to gamble on. So I'm going to make sure that I added to Coach, Coach Beer's new contract extension so we keep him there in Lubbock. So I'm contributing to the pot even more. Yeah.
Good man. So today's Sugar Skulls Coaches Show is going to have a unique route to it. We have a guest, Sugar Skulls owner and head coach of the Arizona Rattlers, Kevin Guy. Coach, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
So this is like should we call this the Indoor Arizona Football Coaches Show just for today?
You can call it whatever you want.
guys, thank you so much for stopping by. Coach, Kevin, are you in Tucson just for the day, or what's going on?
No, I was here yesterday, today, and I'll be back tomorrow. I got to go back and run practice in the morning. And I'm down meeting with the National Guard tomorrow afternoon. We're trying to do a really big promotion for them on Memorial Day weekend at one of our home games later in the year at the Sugar Skulls. So I'm meeting with General McDonald tomorrow at 2:00. So I got a busy week this week.
That's awesome. And you're gonna be back. You're gonna go back up to the Rattlers headquarters, get ready for this weekend. Come back down to Tucson. There's a game on hand. Between you two, what do you remember about the last matchup between the Tucson Sugar Skulls and the Arizona Rattlers? It was up in Phoenix last time, a crowd of just over 16,000, if I'm not mistaken. Coach Coleman, for you, being in your first season with the team and going up there and coaching the Arizona Rattlers, what do you remember about that game?
Well, we took an L, and then, honestly, you just kind of figure out and know where you are. And really, I'm not saying it just because he's here. I think it's known around the league. Right now, the Rattlers, they're the standard right now.
Sure.
They're the benchmark that everybody's trying to get to. And there are some other undefeated teams in this league, but just watching everybody play, they by far are playing the best football. You know, they've got a lot of talent on that team, and they're coached well, which we already know. So for us, having the team that we have, we're young in some areas, especially some critical areas. They don't understand the level that it takes to beat a team like Arizona. And I think we saw that once we had the 14-point swing, we had the blocked field goal, then we had the turnover, the body language of everybody kind of changed, and you kind of saw that it was either going to go downhill, or somebody was going to get everybody back together and they were going to regroup and we were going to fight. So I take that mostly, just getting the guys to understand that, okay, if you're trying to get into the playoffs – and if anything, make any kind of run in the playoffs, then that's the standard, or that's what you should expect. Mm-hmm. That's what it looks like.
Kevin, you had a little taste of the Tucson Sugar Skulls before the season with the scrimmage and then a game up in Phoenix. What do you remember about the contest with the Sugar Skulls?
You know, when I look at Tucson, I look at they've got some really talented players at certain positions. And, when we hired Marcus Coleman, I had a lot of trust in Marcus. I got to watch him coach over the last couple of years, compete against him, and I knew what he was going to bring, to the table. But, Rome's not built in a day, but at the end of the day, when you look at all the expansion teams that came into the league last year, there was four, okay? Two of them hadn't won a game yet, and the other one's 2-4, and then our Tucson Sugar Skulls here are 3-2, and we're sitting in the fifth playoff spot. If we went to go to the playoffs today, we're sitting in the fifth spot. I think the sky's the limit for Tucson. And when I watch film on Tucson, I see how scary they can be. Okay. They got to keep, they're ahead of the curve when the Rattlers came. When the Rattlers joined the Indoor Football League 2 years ago, we started 0-2. We were 1-3. Okay. And then we got to 4-4, and then we won 10 straight and then wound up winning the championship as an expansion team. And, you know, Coach Coleman has his team ahead of where we had our team, you know, just a couple of years ago. So, I'm excited
That's
for
awesome.
Tucson. And cause I see where the team is going. Obviously I have the advantage of not only owning the team and having conversations with Marcus, but I get to, as an opponent coach, I get to watch the film and I get to, you can't BS's, you know, as coaches, the film don't lie. You can see the film. You see what team strengths are, what their weaknesses are. And, and I think Coach Coleman's making the right moves that he needs to make to put Tucson in a position to make that run here towards on the back, second half of the season. And, you know, I get that all these guys are learning how to play together. Coach Coleman's getting a feel for them. They're getting a feel for Coach Coleman. But, you know, we're way ahead of the curve in Tucson. And Tucson is so important to what we're trying to do at the big picture at the league level with our expansion, which we could talk about later, Absolutely. You know, in the show. But I'm really excited where we're at as a football team. And, you know, it's going to be a great test for us because teams get better or they get worse. They never stay the same, okay?
Yep.
And I can tell you, the Arizona Rattlers has had – three guys that we've lost for the season, season-ending injury. We've had three or four players get picked up by other leagues because this is a league of opportunity for these guys to get an opportunity. So, you know, I've been speaking to the guys in our locker room, hey, we're not the same team we were 3 weeks ago, okay? And this business changes day to day. It's a day-to-day business. And, you know, and it's about production. And I'm sure Coach Coleman's message is, hey, either the guys that we have in here – okay, have to get better with production, okay, or we're going to have to go get somebody else that's going to come in here and increase productivity, okay, because it's professional football, and it's a day-to-day business. So I'm extremely happy as an owner. I'm extremely happy with the support that we've gotten. Our attendance was a little down that last game, only because the Lady Wildcats basketball team had a game, and we're so happy for them that they won that championship. I mean, I think that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've invited them out to the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, we can't do it this weekend because of some rules that they have with college football, but we're going to try to get them out to a game later in the season and have Coach out as well. And we were talking back and forth on text this week and just congratulating Coach and the job they did. And I see – I was really pleased with Coach. Wasn't just winning the championship. She almost single-handedly promoted that game herself and got all these fans in the building. And you know, maybe I need to hire her to come over to our marketing.
That's awesome. Again, it's Kevin Guy, Arizona Rattlers head coach, joining us. And, you know, you talked about Adia Barnes and Arizona Wildcats women's basketball team winning the WNIT championship. And I thought it was so cool to see the whole city of Tucson just rally behind one team. You talk about her marketing skills, but, you know, at that time, it's postseason play right here in Tucson.
Sure.
Does that maybe, for you, somebody like you, Coach Coleman, does that kind of get you excited knowing, hey, if we end up making playoffs here this season in the inaugural season, we might actually get a sellout attendance and Tucson Arena is going to be jamming almost every single postseason game?
Yeah, it does get me excited. And just really based off of the first game that we had, and I know it was the home opener. However, I can say that the home opener, when you're talking about making it to the playoffs, particularly as an expansion team, and it being the first time, they're kind of the same.
Yeah.
So seeing the support that they received, you know, doing their postseason tournament, knowing that the city of Tucson has, you know, really put their arms around us and supported us, and if we win, you know, we continue to win and do what we need to do and take care of business on the field, and we get into postseason play, then yes, I would be extremely excited to see how many are going to show up, and I'll probably be expecting to sell out and definitely hoping for that. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure, you know, that happens. And you know, just like I said, based off of what we've seen so far, the city has been really good and the people here have been really good about supporting us. And even the ones that I've you know, just happen to meet, whether it be in Walmart or in the store, and they see the logo and they ask me how the game is. Well, you know, the game's okay. You know, I'm the head coach. You know, I think they're okay. You know, they're not bad. you know, you should come on out. You know what? I will, because you know my buddy told me that it was good, and you get to do all these things, and I'm like, yes, like it's a circus out there. Like, unfortunately, I can't partake in that, but I hear it's fun as well. So you need to come on out. So everybody, you know, usually, you know, says that they're going to make it a point to, you know, come out to the next game, you know, have the experience, and hopefully once they get in, you know, they're definitely pleased with what we're showing, and they continue to come back.
We're going to talk more about Tucson Sugar Skulls, Arizona Rattlers coming up in just a little bit. And also, I want to see how well you guys know each other.
Okay.
Well, I got some trivia questions for you guys later on down the line. But Coach Coleman, before we go into our next segment, a tough loss on the road against the Nebraska Danger, 53-47 mm-hmm. was the final score. It was a close one. You guys are right there, even though you trailed by 17 points. You clawed your way back into the game. Just what went wrong down the line on the road?
Really. Playing on the short field, really the same thing that got us in trouble in our first loss. Playing on the short field, we throw three interceptions, you know, and obviously you can't have any turnovers. So that really kind of tells the story of the game. And the only difference I say between the first loss and this loss was we actually battled back and we fought back. And I think the guys showed kind of a flash of you know, them coming together and actually being a team. You know, even though we came up short, you know, they still, you know, regrouped, got it back together. You know, we were able to make some plays and at least get back in the ball game. But we have to minimize or just completely take out the turnovers and do a better job, you know, special teams-wise when we're, you know, playing on you know, when we're talking about field position, whether it be from an offensive side, you know, perspective or a defensive perspective. So, really, that's the game itself. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, if you're usually minus in the turnover category, more times than not, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what the percentages say. So, you know, I believe that. So it's our job, you know, to make sure that we, you know, we take care of the turnovers and work on that. And we started that today in practice, and we'll continue to do that, you know, every day with this, doing different drills, things like that, you know, that'll kind of help mm-hmm. with that.
Whoever is your quarterback, it's like a flip of the coin, you know.
Right.
It's, so you don't know who's going to be the starting quarterback. This past weekend, it was Matt Barrett. He threw two interceptions. Jake Medlock then came in the second half. He threw interception. Both of those guys didn't throw an interception leading up to this past weekend.
Right.
Was it anything that Nebraska was doing defensively, or was it just mental errors?
Definitely the first one was a mental error, when particularly out of the set that we were running and the play that we had called. You know, it was just Matt trying to do too much, throwing back across your body. Especially when you're in the red zone like that, you know, that's you know, a difficult hard, you know, that's a difficult throw to make for anybody. So another is just, you know, is that was a mental error as well. Same with Jake. Jake was, even though we were getting the drive going, we had a chance to, you know, to come down and win the game. We actually missed the play before where we had six with Samson, and Jake, you know, threw him a little bit too far to the wall, as opposed to more, you know, more towards the pylon of the end zone. And then we come back, and even though we get what the read that he was making, but you can't, you know, and he still does this a little bit where he's forcing some throws in because he does have he's got a cannon. I mean,
yeah.
Let's be honest about it. So at the end, I think, you know, once he made his read, he just stuck on that read and he tried to force one in, which is where, you know, where the interception came from. And Nebraska ended up getting the turnover, and that was the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at some point, somebody does have to step up and kind of take the reins of who's going to be the full-time starter. I know having two guys is great, and it is good. It's a good problem to have, because at least you know if one goes down, you have a backup that's capable of stepping in. But you still need that number one guy to pull ahead and be the guy, and, you know, you can ride him, you know, on however long that goes until the end. So we're still looking for that and still hoping that comes pretty soon.
Coach Guy, how difficult is it to game plan against their quarterbacks? Is that one of the biggest challenges of getting ready for it, is determining, hey, who's going to be the starting quarterback?
So okay, so I'll give you my thoughts. You know, I haven't really had a chance to sit down and you know, me and Marcus try to grab time once or twice a week to talk a little bit. You know, and just, we may not always be talking Sugar Skulls. We may be talking just things that's going around the league or whatever, you
sure.
know. But, you know, when I break down Tucson, what I see is that Tucson's got a really good running back, okay? I think the offensive line has done a really good job. And, you know, I think we've done something similar at Arizona, playing two quarterbacks. And a lot of that, there's reasons behind it. You know, with the AAF going on and was picking up players, you know, we were trying to make sure that, you know, we had a guy ready to go in case that happened. And, you know, things have kind of settled down now with them going away. But, you know, we wanted to have a plan in place. But it was also, you know, this is an opportunity league. But at some point, we were going to have to pick a quarterback and say, hey, this is the guy we're going to hang our hat on. And, you know, so there was a little bit of strategy that in there. You know, we had Matt in training camp. And, you know, I thought he was a solid player. And, you know, he's a smart guy. He's a competitor. He's got good leadership skills. So there was a lot of things I like about him. You know, when I look at Medlock, I haven't spent a lot of time around him on a personal basis. I don't know his personality as well as I do Matt, because I was around Matt on an everyday basis. But when I watch him on film, you know, he scares me to death as a coach. I mean, he can spin it, okay? And so, you know, when you have that quarterback, running back, and then when you look at the receivers, you know, Sugar Skulls has some receivers that can make plays. And, you know, I think when you have, you know, a solid quarterback play, that only raises the game of everybody around them. So, I, you know, offensively, what's been, you know, the thorn in the side for Sugar Skulls, and Coach Coleman touched on it, it's the turnovers. Okay, you got to take care of the ball. And you can't turn the ball over, and I don't care what sport you're talking about, you can't turn the ball over. So, you know, defensively, you know, they came up with some stops, and you know, when you watch Tucson on film, they're extremely good in the box. Okay, they got great linebacker play. Those D linemen do a great job of keeping those O linemen off the backer, so Zach Allen can run around and make plays, and they get pressure as well. And you know, so you look at the secondary; they've been able to come up with some interceptions. So I mean, they are a playoff team. I've been saying this from day one. I you know, as a coach, I can look at the rosters, I know the personnel, I can say, hey, these guys, but you know, where they're going to fall at in that playoff, you know, it's going to come down to, you know, you can't go play Nebraska and turn the ball over four or five times, you know, like they did. I mean, you know, don't forget about the drive that they had, you know, just a couple drives before that interception. You know, I believe it was Medlock hit Mike Jones out of the backfield, and you know, the D lineman comes and strips it from behind, and that would have been a go-ahead touchdown as well. So,
yeah.
You know, you just can't turn the ball over. And and so that's something that sometimes teams just have to go through, and they got to learn that ball security has to become number one.
Mm-hmm. Coach Guy, how's your bracket doing? How did you do this year?
Well, you know, I picked Gonzaga. you know, and it seems like every time I take a chance on somebody, they let me down. But I did pick
You're
Auburn.
Not the only one.
I did pick Auburn as my bracket buster. I felt like they were really hot. You know, they got really hot and won the SEC, and then, you know, but what they did was amazing, beating some of those blue bloods that they beat, you know, in the tournament. And, you know, I think Bruce Pearl's done a nice job, you know, with that team. And you know, he gets those guys to play hard, and they buy into what he's selling. So, you know, I was pretty pleased on how, you know, I'm from Alabama, so obviously, I can remember as a kid when Charles Barkley was playing there and Chuck Persons and Westbrook. I mean, I was 8, 9 years old. I would literally cry if they lost the game.
Man.
I went to the same high school as Bo Jackson. So we were kind of like, hey, we're really pulling for, you know, my grandfather played at Auburn. So, you know, there was a lot of Auburn fans in my family. Okay. But then as I got older and, you know, I got into coach world, I started pulling for people. You know, I kind of got away from pulling for teams and started pulling for people. And you know, I kind of started following this coach that was up at Michigan State. And I was like, man, this guy seems very disciplined. And he kind of, you know, I liked his personality. I liked how he recruited. And then I watched him go to LSU and then to the NFL and then back to Alabama. So I was like, you know, I kind of started, you know, pulling for Nick. And I just, you know, being a former defensive guy myself, you know, I kind of like how he runs his program so, you know, I'm just kind of, I'm pulling for people. As I meet people and understand them better,
right.
I like to pull for people and watch them have a lot of success.
That's awesome, man. Well, that's Arizona Rattlers head coach Kevin Guy. Marcus Coleman, Sugar Skulls head coach, still with us in studio. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we're going to talk about the new Sugar Skulls right here on the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show on ESPN Tucson 1490, 104.9 FM.
breaking down the inaugural season for Tucson's first professional football team.
The Tucson Sugar Skull.
It's the Coach's Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Right here on ESPN Tucson 1490.
And 104.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing, featuring head coach, hosted by yours truly. If you missed the opening segment or any previous Coaches Show in the past, go to ESPNTucson.com. We have them all podcasted. Just go to Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show. It's a drop-down menu, and then you'll see the podcast. Here with Tucson Sugar Skulls head coach, Marcus Coleman, and Arizona Rattlers head coach and Sugar Skulls owner, Kevin Guy. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Kevin, one thing I took away from the opening segment, you're talking about a lot of turnover. Mm-hmm. Everything is just this constant change. We were off the air talking about a lot of turnover from this past weekend against San Diego. You said that was the most turnover you've ever had in a game?
Ever had on one side of the ball. You know, and it was a combination of we had some players that got picked up. And you know, went on to a different league, and then we had, you know, some injuries, mm-hmm. season-ending injuries. So, you know, I was a little nervous this past week, you know, offensively, and I wasn't really worried about losing the game, but I was worried about just the chemistry and putting a good product out on the field, you know, in front of the fan base, we had some guys step up and make some plays, so I was pretty pleased, but I would have liked to get out of that game a lot sooner than we did.
Yeah.
And our good friends, the referees, decided they were going to become a part of the game in the last 5 minutes and extended it. But I think that, you know, that won't be happening moving forward. I think there will be some conversation.
But 91 points is a damn good product that you put on the field.
Or could be
play calling.
You know, it's, what's that?
Or it could be play calling.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. We'll take credit for that.
But Coach Coleman, you had some turnover yourself. You brought in three additional players, a defensive lineman, a cornerback, and a wide receiver. I want to start with defensive back since you're a former DB yourself. Dominique Harrison went to Oregon, then finished off his collegiate career at Western Oregon. So, a Pac-12 guy coming to Tucson and playing for the Tucson Sugar Skulls. Did he get the start? I knew that he played.
No, he didn't get the start, but he got in, and that's only because he literally just got there last week. So, and thing I like about him is he's, you know, definitely physical in regards to, like, reroutes, you know, things like that. You know, he's understanding what we're trying to do. And the other thing that I like about him is he has a good football mind, you know, a pretty good football IQ. So he understands coverages, what we're trying to do. If he doesn't, he definitely comes and asks, which is, you know, what I really like. He'll ask questions, try to figure it out, you know, and get everybody together. So he was a good addition for us this week.
And then also the other one, Rayshon Henderson, a defensive lineman, played at Weber State. What did you like about him, and why did you bring him on?
Well, we had to bring him on. Mainly, we lost Klug to a knee injury, so we had to put him on IR and got the opportunity to bring Rayshon in. And Rayshon's quick off the ball. You know, he's definitely another guy that's a smart player. You know, he picked up what we were really in the run game, things like that, what we were, you know, what we coach and what we're teaching. He really picked it up kind of the first day, tell you the truth. Like, he had it down. And you know, we've got a, you know, a decent relationship with the coach down at Weber State. And, you know, he's actually a pretty good coach as well, the D-line coach. So we knew he came from somewhere where he was actually getting coached up and knew the nuances of football. And he's quick, man, and he's still obviously – coming in that fast, you still have to get into football shape a little bit. But I thought, you know, for the most part, he had a good game. He graded out well, you know, only being here for a week. So we look forward to what he can do in the future.
How do both of those guys add on to the identity of the defense for the Tucson Sugar Skulls?
Well, you always want, you know, and I think really in the manner of kind of like how Kevin is, you know, I like smart physical players as well. I mean, obviously you got to have guys that cover – but I like guys that are smart, and I like guys that are physical, whether it's attacking blocks, coming up and tackling, you know, making plays on the ball, getting your hands up, you know, for D linemen, being able to get pressure on the quarterback, things like that, and being physical in the run game. That's, you know, I think that's important, particularly in this league. Even though it is a passing league, you know, there are a lot of teams that are strong at running the ball, so you want to make sure that you make them one-dimensional. But adding two guys like that, you know, that have football, you know, high football IQs and are physical, and you know, the other one obviously can cover as well. Just it adds, you know, that much more talent and depth to your team.
Now the next one, we're going to go over to the offensive side of the ball. Rashad Canty, wide receiver from Vanderbilt. Yeah, he's also
you know he's smart.
See? So you have a Vanderbilt guy coming in.
Yeah.
Vandy.
Yeah, Vandy.
A big wide receiver. What do you like about him and what he brings to the offense?
Well, one, he did go to Vandy. I can't stress that enough. He went to Vandy. No, but he and it's not that. When he came in, he picked up everything that we were doing this week. It really took him like a one practice, maybe like a practice and a half, and he had it. It was like, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, and it's good to see that. That's, you know, that makes our job easy, you know, easy as coaches. And also, you know, he can run, good route runner, big target. You know, especially in this league when the field is shortened. So now you have somebody with that kind of length, you know, they can take advantage of angles, things like that, you know, or whether it be jump balls in the red zone, you know, those kind of plays. So, you know, he brings a lot of, you know, physical attributes and football, you know, other, you know, intangible things to the, you know, to the table. He works hard. He's been working nonstop since he's been here. You know, he meets with Chin before practice and after practice because he's trying to learn everything. So I think we got a really good player. I think he's going to be really good for us down the line.
What are his skill sets? Who does he remind you of?
Who?
For a wide receiver like that.
I would say.
I'm taking notes over here.
Yeah, I know you are. You know what? He and if you think about how Jordan Matthews was or like is in Philly. Like, they're kind of similar, actually. You know, they're not like blazers, but they can run. They run their, you know, they run good crisp routes, run them at full speed, so you don't know if he's running. He may run at 4.5, but he's still running. He's still playing at 4.5 or faster.
Okay.
Has good hands and, you know, having a big target, you know, you need, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, you always have that, you know, on your team. So, it's good to have a sure-handed guy with that kind of size and that kind of ability, you know, on your squad.
Since we're talking about turnover, bringing on players halfway through the season, is that a big challenge for you? Because you can get ready for a game next week, and then you see this player who just pops up, and they're doing well, and you're like, wow, where did you come from? So it kind of makes in-game adjustments a little bit more difficult for you guys. How do you guys handle so much turnover in the NFL?
I have not had as much turnover as I've had. This is the most I've ever had this year, and it seems like it's been on one side of the ball. We brought back our whole offense, you know, from the year before, and we had the number one scoring offense last year, and you know we brought everybody back, but we changed our philosophy on defense. We turned our whole defense over, and these other leagues are, you know, could have been injuries as well, but these other leagues have went after our offensive players, so we've had a lot of turnover. But you know, you have to have a system that, you know, that you could come in, teach somebody, and get them ready to play that week, because the rosters are 25 guys. You play 21, so there's not a lot of room, you know, there. So you know, you got to have a chance. You got to have a system where you can come plug and play. And you know, we've worked really hard as coaching staffs to try to really concentrate on putting systems together where, you know, it's basically for a third grader. When you walk in, you can pick up on the terminology, and boom, we can plug you in. And then start teaching you your technique that you need to use to play.
Yeah, it's kind of the same with us, where we haven't, you know, we just, you know, offensively they have their number system, whatever, and even, you know, defensively I only, you know, have, you know, a few things that I'm really just running right now. And we have a lot more turnover than they do, because new team, we're still trying to figure guys out, whether it be bringing new guys in, getting more production out of them. So, I mean, with us, really, we're kind of week by week for sure with a lot of what we're doing and who we're playing. So, you know, the challenge is just making sure you find the right people that can fit what it is that you're trying to do, and they have that skill set where you can just line them up and you know, not make it too difficult for them to get in and be able to play fast and be able to make plays. So it's a little bit of a, you know, it's kind of a balancing act. You know, that's the fun part about it, though.
What are we going to name the rivalry between the Tucson Sugar Skulls and the Arizona Rattlers?
It's a great question.
You know, Battle I-10.
Oh, you know, I want the Tucson fans to name it. You know,
yeah.
We need to get them engaged, and I want to see them come up with you know, a name for this rivalry. You know, I was talking to some other press earlier today, and you know, I was telling them, hey, when my wife and I, Kathy, decided to put a team, you know, down in Tucson, you know, we had this rivalry in mind. It was just a natural fit. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have a place down here now, and you know, my daughter's planning on going to U of A, and, you know, I couldn't make that move until she graduated.
Sure.
You know, high school. It was just tough. And so, you know, I don't know how much longer I want to coach. You know, I've done it now for, you know, a lot of years. But, you know, I do enjoy owning a team, and I do enjoy going out and being a part of the community and selling. So, but, I, you know, as far as the name, I hadn't got that far. You know, I've heard some names get kicked around, but, you know, I just think that will take care of itself amongst the fans.
Right. It'll be natural.
As we play.
Absolutely. Well, maybe that we should open up the Desert Diamond Casino Sports Line at 719-1490. If you have any suggestions for the Tucson Sugar Skulls Arizona Rattlers rivalry, call in at 719-1490 and we'll get you on the air. Coming up next on the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, we're going to test both Kevin Guy and Marcus Coleman. We're going to see how well these guys know each other. Stay tuned. More of the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show right here on ESPN Tucson 1490, 104.9 FM.
Taking a look inside the Tucson Sugar Skulls indoor football team. It's the Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Right here on ESPN Tucson 1490 and 104.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing, featuring Sugar Skulls head coach Marcus Coleman with us, very special guest, Arizona Rattlers head coach Kevin Guy, who's also the Tucson Sugar Skulls owner. You two are going at it this weekend for round two. Coach Guy, you have the advantage with the previous matchup. But we're going to have a nice little battle in here, a little trivia session, okay? I'm going to ask some questions, and I'm going to see how well you two know each other. So, you guys ready?
Ready.
Born ready. Coach Coleman, I'm going to start with you. Question number one. What high school did Coach Guy attend?
Well, we just talked about it, so Shelby. I mean, I mean, now we got the real answer, so I give the letter of the two.
As soon as he said it, as soon as Coach Guy said it, I was like, all right, school of the beans.
But when he said he went to the same high school as Bo Jackson, I know what high school that is. You know, when he said it initially, but then he came out and said he switched. So then I got the other answer.
I didn't get switched. I was told I was moving.
You were telling me you were moving, yeah.
Mama told me I was moving. That was it. I didn't have a choice. I was out, you know?
So that town, is Bo Jackson essentially mayor in that town?
Well,
every street named after him.
He could be governor if he wanted to down there, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the Alabama fans would vote him in, but, you know, that's tough. You saw where Tommy Tuberville just came out and said he was running for Senate.
Yeah,
we'll see how that works.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, what was the quarterback that played at Tennessee, and played in the league? I think he's a senator now.
Not Peyton Manning.
No.
The one that won a championship?
No, not T.
T. Mark.
After that, but he played at Tennessee. He had like a cup of coffee in the league, but like
he was obviously not very good.
We can't even think of it.
I can't think of his name. I have to look that up. Yeah, we have to look that up. Yeah.
Coach Guy.
Yeah.
It's your turn now.
Okay.
Which NFL team drafted this guy, Marcus Coleman?
Oh, that's easy. It's Jets.
Yes.
Can you name the head coach? At that
Hold on a second now. Let me just think. Now it was.
You still get the point.
I know he was there while Parcells was there, but I believe there was somebody before Parcells that might have been involved. You know, Parcells might have inherited you. So I want to say, wasn't Pete Carroll the head coach at one time? And then there was. Who was before Parcells?
Pete was there, but it was right in between Pete and Bill.
Oh, okay.
It was like 1 year.
He was there 1 year?
Yeah.
Man, you didn't play back when Lou Holtz was there,
right? No, the other one, with Kotite.
Kotite. Yeah.
You still get the point, though. You still get the point.
That wasn't the original question.
You still get the point.
That's kind of a hard question, though.
I don't remember the loser.
Everybody always skips.
Kotite, we can go up and do a better job with Kotite.
That's awesome. All right, Coach Coleman, you're back on the clock. What position did Kevin Guy play before he was a defensive back?
quarterback and wideout.
That is correct.
That is correct. All right.
That is correct.
On the roll, Coach Coleman. All right, Coach Guy. Names of the NFL teams Coach Coleman has played for.
Oh, okay.
You listed the first one.
All right, I'll just take you through it. So, drafted, played for the Jets. How detailed do you want me to get? Let's see, after 8 years, he went in the expansion draft to the Texans, and then he finished his last year with the Cowboys.
Man, I swear this guy wrote your Wikipedia page, man.
You got to know your opponent.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Marcus. Last AFL team Kevin played for.
Oh, okay.
He's going to bomb on this one.
Oh. Okay, so it's not the Red Dogs.
It's after the Red Dogs.
It's after the, after the Red Dogs. I know. It's... Oh, it's... I'm trying to think of all the AFL teams. Hold on. San Jose, L.A., Red Dogs.
Disney World's there.
Orlando. Right? Orlando?
Orlando.
Yeah.
Orlando Predators.
Predators. Do we give them the point, Tristan? Okay, we'll give you the point.
Jay Gruden was my head coach.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, we're still good friends today. We talk all the time. But we played together in the Arena League, and then he became the head coach of Orlando, and then I was playing for the Red Dogs. He traded for me, and I went down and finished the season when we actually played for the championship that year in Arena Bowl 13, and. You know, Jay was a huge part of when I got the Arizona job. You know,
that's awesome.
He called the ownership and said, told him, said, you're crazy if you don't take him. So
that's awesome.
He helped me get the job.
All right. So last question for you, Coach Guy.
Yep.
What was the first coaching gig Marcus Coleman had?
It was probably something like powder puff football with the girls or something at one of the high schools.
No, definitely didn't go that route.
Let's see. His first coaching job, like where did he coach at?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
NFL, yeah.
Okay. That's the Tri-Cities.
Yep.
Tri-Cities.
Ding.
Tri-Cities.
Man, so you two are tied. Well, how are we gonna split this up?
Well, it's a good question. Maybe let's have him answer like. I'd like to know who's going to start at quarterback this week. So I know.
I don't think we go that far.
Hey, no, that's cool because I want to know who's going to start at running back this week.
So, okay. Yeah, so, I'll tell you right now.
That's Kevin Guy, Marcus Coleman in studio. Coming up next, we're going to preview the Tucson Sugar Skulls Arizona Rattlers matchup, a big one at Tucson Arena this weekend. Stay tuned. More of the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coaches Show right here on ESPN Tucson 1490, 104.9 FM.
Taking a peek inside the Tucson Sugar Skulls indoor football team.
It's the Coach's Show.
Presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Right here on ESPN Tucson 1490.
And 104.9 FM.
Welcome back to the Tucson Sugar Skulls Coach's Show, presented by Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. If you're just tuning in, don't worry. The podcast will be posted on ESPNTucson.com. It'll be available forever. So you can listen to that on ESPNTucson.com. Here with Arizona Rattlers head coach Kevin Guy, Tucson Sugar Skulls head coach Marcus Coleman. Jay Gonzalez, media director for the Sugar Skulls, messaged me because he heard of the segment about the name of the rivalry. And he said, I-10 Tussle. I like it. I think it's a start. I like it. I-10 Tussle. Yeah. But it's got to kind of catch on, though. It's got to be more natural.
It's a little more catchy.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. And just make it new and fun, though.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I just Jay, sorry. Catch it.
You know, like, yeah. I don't know. I want it to be catchy. You know, so like the usual, like I said, don't make it the usual words, L-I-10 or Silver
like,
War.
You know, win I-10.
The win I-10, yeah. Something different, yeah.
I like that. But this is going to be a huge game because it's an in-state rivalry. It's 6,700 seats are at Tucson Arena. The home opener had just under 5,200. I think this game is going to be a sellout because it's the Rattlers versus the Sugar Skulls. And by the way, if you haven't bought your tickets yet, you can go to TucsonSugarSkulls.com or you can go to the Tucson Convention Center box office. That's going to be an important game. How much are you guys looking forward to this matchup?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to it because you know, just because of everything that's went into it leading up to this, you know, that you know, my family and I have been a part of. But, you know, I'm excited to see how the Sugar Skulls are going to come and bounce back, where their mindset is. And you know, for me, being a part of designing that field and you know, the uniforms and all that stuff, you know, to finally come and coach, you know, on the field that, you know, that you own. I mean, that's going to be something different for me. But I'm excited for the community, to be frank. I want this to be a statement game for Tucson. I really felt like this town, it was a great product for this town, and we fit in a space where Tucson needed some entertainment. And so I hope that there's a lot of families out this weekend that come out and see the game. You know, they got a very good football team here in town, and Tucson's going to the playoffs. You know, that's for sure. They're going to the playoffs, and I think this is good. We got a chance to make history this weekend of starting one of the biggest rivalries, you know, across the country between the Tucson Sugar Skulls and the Arizona Rattlers.
Coach?
Yeah, for me, I'm fired up about the rivalry one. To be honest with you, you know, being able to have a team like Arizona down the street from you and have an opportunity to play against them and create that natural rivalry that is, you know, that kind of does exist within the state, I think is, you know, is good. So I'm looking forward to that. And also just the competitor in myself and, you know, the rest of the team, you know, we look forward to playing teams like this. You know, I know I do personally. And I think the guys, you know, after having a taste of, you know, kind of what it's like, you know, seeing, you know, a really successful, well-coached football team and how the level of intensity is going to be in the playoffs, you know, they want another shot at that, you know, and it was, you know, kind of evident today. You know, practice was a little, let's just call it chippy, you know, today. So, you know, so.
It's good.
Yeah. So, you know, I think they're excited. You know, guys are flying around, you know, everybody's is dialing in, and, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, to the matchup because, you know, like I said, early on, you know, they're the standard right now. They're, you know, probably, you know, the best team in the NFL right now, you know, and that's, you know, that's not just me saying that to get brownie points from my owner. You know, you turn on the tape and that's what you see, you know, compared to everybody else. So, you know, we're looking forward to that challenge and looking forward to having everybody show up to the arena, come and be loud, yell, see if, you know, we can get some home, you know, little home cooking, you know, as far as advantage and you know, see if we can, you know, make some noise on the field.
Tucson Sugar Skulls taking on the Arizona Rattlers this Sunday. Kickoff set for 3 p.m. Go out to Tucson Arena. Check it out. It's going to be a great environment. If not, you can listen to Pat Parris and Chuck Cecil on the YouTube channel and the CW. Guys, good luck this weekend.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up next, a whole new episode of The Sports Exchange right here on ESPN Tucson.